You're listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast on KSVG 89.7 FM, Savage Radio, City of License, Mettler, California.
Will this get awkward, Brent, if I just stroke this bottle ever so lovingly while I'm staring at you in the eye across the table?
Not as long as it's radio friendly. No one can see the bottle.
I know, but I'm telling them about it. It's a long...
I can see the
it's
bottle.
It's about a 12-inch bottle, and the head on it is smaller than the rest of the bottle.
It's a double-ended bottle.
You want to touch my bottle?
No.
No.
Oh, man. You guys are no fun. On this Thursday afternoon that we're recording, how are you guys doing today? How's the traffic out there? Is everybody driving home? You guys loving the traffic? Yeah, I can see it. It's right in front of me. We're actually in my truck driving down the street, and we just ran over a bum. So that was my news report. One less bum out there. It was right by the bus station.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know.
You could steal his identity now. If you ran him over, go back and get his wallet. Maybe there's a social security card.
Yeah, it could be a rich guy.
Yeah, he could be a rich guy. He just got out of a Lexus and we ran him over.
It's a whole new identity theft scheme.
He's a bum and he just got out of a Lexus?
Yeah, you know the guys that panhandle and then they go to their Lexus.
They make a lot of money.
Yeah.
How much money do they make?
A lot. There was like a 60-minute special on that. They literally were driving like a Lexus SUV.
Six figures a year, sons.
Just stand there with a...
Because you got to realize, like, for 8 hours, how many cars drive by, if 1 in 10 cars gives them a dollar, it really adds up. Those people were making a bunch of money.
Yeah, if 100,000 cars drive into Walmart and everybody gives them a quarter...
Math.
Yeah.
You just blew my mind.
Times Earth.
$25,000, yeah. Day.
Hey, nobody told you to talk yet. We have a guest.
We have a guest here on the Sofa King podcast, which you're listening to on Savage Radio on this lovely Thursday. Say hello, guest.
Hello.
He's extra famous now because now he's on the radio. We didn't even tell him he was going to be on the radio, but guess what? You're going to be on the radio.
Yep.
Nice.
And don't cuss like the rest of these guys do.
I don't.
Keep it G.
Sometimes
I
never, me.
I never.
And he was on our Cosmos episode. So if you think that he's your type of voice and you want to listen to more of his smooth vocal tones, download the Cosmos episode. What else did we talk about on that one? Alien Cosmos. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was a good episode.
Yeah. Dave talks about when he punched an alien.
Yes.
So check that one out.
Might've been a cat.
May have been a cat.
I was trying to think. Wasn't it a cat? Yeah. I couldn't remember the story.
I thought it was his mom that he punched.
It was either a cat or an alien, and I punched it. But you can listen to the Cosmos Alien Abduction episode. Download it from sofakingpodcast.com.
So,
and he also gets in depth on how he was probed, and we can't do that on the radio. So check that one out.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's true.
You have to find that on www.com where uncensored footage goes. Yeah. There's a story about Dave getting probed.
Yes. Forward slash probe.
With a P.
I'm going to try to buy that tonight if that's available. Actually, it's immediately. I'm going to do it while we're talking right now from my phone. It looks like you're looking it up.
No.
Brad has two laptops in front of him today.
Yeah, he does.
The rest of us have none.
I'm extra smart.
Ambidextrous.
And
I got two. I got two Googles. Oh, and, three and my phone.
And printed notes.
Yep.
Apparently bought a printer.
Yep.
He's impressed.
I don't know what's on him. It could just be like random pages from the internet.
Well, I think it's going to be like the Big Lebowski where the guy's drawing, like writing that note on the pad. And then when the camera cuts to it, Jackie Treehorn drew a picture of a guy with a large penis. And Lebowski thought it was like a big clue and ran over and checked the pad. And that's all that he was drawing the whole time.
I could see that scenario play out with Brad. That sounds like a possibility.
Yeah, it's just Brent sucks my bottle over and over again.
Ooh, we are walking the radio line.
Yep.
So last week. Get edgy. Last week we talked about identity theft, credit card fraud, all of that stuff. And we wanted to finalize the conversation this week. We didn't quite, we didn't cover all of the sort of big scams that are out there that hit people. And B, we didn't really talk about any solutions in any depth. So today we wanted to talk about a couple of other ways that they can get your credit card and your information and use you and abuse you. And then we want to propose some solutions and things that you guys might want to do to make sure your stuff isn't getting jacked.
So, yeah, specifically medical identity theft was one of the ones we didn't get to talk about last week. And it's super scary because it creates such a mess for people. So in the same fashion that someone would take your Social Security card or your information, they can use that same information. It's just as easy to get some of your insurance information. And they actually go. People go and check into the ER. They go and make doctor's appointments with their fake information, and then you rack up medical bills, and sometimes you don't know. Like 30 days could pass, a year could pass, and then all of a sudden you start getting bills in the mail for a broken leg in San Luis Obispo, and you're like, I don't live there. What's going on? Like the ER? What is this? And there's really no way to prove that you didn't break your leg. And with privacy laws in place, it makes it even more difficult because they are like bound to not release certain information. Even if you do get authorities involved, you have to be involved in the investigation to authorize the inquiries from the places. And a lot of the people end up just paying the bills. And I read somewhere that the average amount that people have paid through studies is about $13,000. For the incidents of the medical
fraud.
But the trying to get it fixed is almost impossible because there's no way to say that you didn't go to that ER. They don't remember. The ER doctor that night has a signature on a piece of paper. They took some information that was your ID. You know what I mean? Because the problem is there's not something embedded on that person yet. You know, there's no chip that says you are that person. They literally write down your driver's license number, you know, your home address, a social security number. You sign some papers. They got what they need. Yeah, they have no reason to
everything looks legit.
It looks legitimate.
Your insurance group number.
And then once you've left, there's no way to put that face to that information. As far as they're concerned, the event occurred. Yeah. And then the follow-up is just a horror story. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Ideas, thoughts? Like, I mean, what do you do? There's nothing you can do.
I guess it depends on the nature. I mean, you might luck into the fact that the scumbag that stole your stuff like got an injury that you can prove happened.
I have no left leg.
Like, they took out my appendix and it's like, look, no scar. I still have an appendix. Yeah. Oh, he broke his leg. It's like x-ray my leg. It never broke.
That sounds good, but like who's going to go look at the scar? Like the doctor, lawyer in court to tell the credit place that you're not paying?
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, like,
yeah pretty much.
But this is that one instance where Facebook would come into play where you're like, look, on this day I was running around doing this,
right?
I agree, but the problem still exists that it's like, to what authority? Like, there is no system in place to be like, oh, well, it's not like a fix it ticket, like, hey, look, my headlight's fixed. Here you go, judge.
I mean, obviously, you go to a lawyer,
right? And incur legal costs.
Somebody did this, somebody did this.
You're still gonna pay, though.
That's true,
yeah, you're still screwed, like, you're still gonna have to pay.
Well, then, why do I need insurance then? This sounds good. I mean,
Steve, can we borrow your driver's license real quick?
Oh, sure.
So the question is, I mean, it's still, how do they, I mean, they're going to have to get all that information about you.
Yeah, in the same fashion that they did. So, Which is probably a good lead into phishing scams, because that's the biggest way that people get things, and it's extremely scary. Like, I'm in the computer industry, and going through this, I didn't even realize all of the crazy methods that they imply and use to do that type of thing. So places will go so far as to make entire websites, like entire complex websites with multiple pages and links that look like an actual organization, or they might even completely copy a website that you would mm-hmm. go to. And has like the actual PDF forms to fill out, all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, they'll go as far as when you click on a link, it will paste a picture of the URL over the URL. So behind the page is a real URL that's going to like yougotscrewed.com. And on top of it, it says like something, something healthcare, you know? Like, yeah. And it's actually just a picture over the URL, and the actual URL is happening in the back. So everyone always has this thing where they think like, I don't open any emails from anyone I don't know. That's always the line at the counter. And I'm like, that's like old school thought. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, it's not, you know, it's almost good. It's going to be from your uncle that was like, they got infected, and then it sent you a message from your uncle that says, hey man, we're having a barbecue this weekend. And then you click on some funny joke.
We're having a barbecue this weekend. I need your social.
Yeah.
And he sent it to me.
No, right. They answer pickles. They'll click a link that'll infect your computer in the background and do some weird Java code that'll redirect your page next time you go somewhere. I read one where when you visit B of A, like if your computer's infected, they have these things that know that like Washington Mutual's gone, Chase, B of A, mm-hmm. you know, locally Kern Schools. When you go to a banking website, and there's ways that they can detect it, it's a financial institution, they'll put a pop-up with username and login over your normal pop-up. So you actually just type it in and you're really on the legitimate site, but
that's
they utilize
crazy.
A pop-up to grab the credentials.
And the other thing is too, like most financial institutions have like an image or like some sort of phrase that shows by
the
your
key,
login stuff. So you know that it's legitimate. Like those are those things you have to pay attention to. Like if you're just randomly going places and like, you know, being oblivious, then you're probably going to give away some information.
Right.
Because you're not paying attention.
And that's true. I mean, that's a definite good thing to pay attention to, because on some typically banks or credit cards, there's always that weird thing when you sign up for your account on some of them where it's like, pick this, you know, pick the picture that you want to see. And it's always like, why the hell do I want to pick like, okay, a beach.
That can be circumvented as well, though, because if they have control of your computer and they're taking screenshots, there's something called spear phishing, and it's where they go towards a specific individual, and it attributes to 91% of the phishing scams as spear phishing, where they go actually after an individual. So they might do something like call you and say that you're from your financial institution, or they're from the medical field, or hey, we're from Google or Microsoft. Your account was compromised. We need you to verify this.
Right.
I saw something as simple as they just went to Gmail. They knew your address. They typed in, or they know your phone number. That's what it is. They go and say, I forgot my password. It sends you the text. They immediately text you, this is Gmail. We had fraudulent activity detected on your account. Someone tried to reset your password to confirm that this is really you at this phone number. Please send the confirmation code you received. And people just like punch in the confirmation code. They reset their password and have complete control of their account. Same thing works with Facebook, with any of those things.
Yeah, and once they get your email, they can go on there and say, I forgot my login or password or, you know, whatever.
They have access to password resets, all kinds of weird credentials. It's like a slippery slope. Once they get a foothold and they get a little deeper and a little deeper. Yep. So that's where that spear phishing thing comes in, because they'll call and say, we need to know your secret code for your bank. And you'll be like, Fluffy, that's my cat. And like, what's the last four digits of your social? Okay. And that you gave it to them thinking you're confirming something, but you're actually just giving them the security questions that they just attempted to redo the reset, so they know what it's supposed to ask you, like what's your mother's maiden name, favorite flavor ice cream, you know, what high school did you go to, and they'll ask you those questions on the phone. So just know, and most people know this, but so many people don't. It's insane, specifically elderly people, like people over 60.
Yeah.
They come in and they're overly trusting. I don't know why. If I was a bad man, I would be a rich man, but I'm not. Like, I'm moral, and I feel so bad for these people. They let them take control of their computer. Well, they pay them $200.
A couple of things you could do, you know, to protect yourself in that situation. If you get an email from, say, Geico Washington Mutual, what I mean, they're gone, obviously, like you said, but you know, Bank of America, whatever the case is, don't click the email, don't follow it to wherever it takes you. Go on their website. If you think the website's compromised because you have a virus or something, call the number. I mean, don't if you get a call and they're like, hey, we want you to confirm this, say, you know what, I'm going to hang up right now. I'm going to call back in to the number I know is the right number, and I'm going to find out what's going on.
Yeah, not the number from the email.
Yeah, the number.
On your card.
No.
Yeah. So, and then, those are the hoops you have to jump through, though.
Same thing with, though, like voicemail and telephone. I mean, same exact thing. I mean, if I've gotten phone calls before and it'll be like, hey, this is, you know, so-and-so, I'm calling from this bank that you have a credit card on. We just wanted to let you know, whatever. And I say, okay, well, I'm going to, like, I've done it. And I've said, okay, I'm going to call you guys back.
Right.
And they said, okay, that's a good idea. That's fine. You know.
Yeah. There's always an 800 number on the back of your actual
right,
card.
Exactly. So when that happened, I hung up. I called the number on my card, just started a whole new conversation, gave them my account number, and they said, oh, yeah, that did happen. And then I had the conversation with them because I initiated the call. So it's like I get voicemails all the time on my phone because my phone is where spam goes to die. And it's just people saying, you know, hello, you have won $1 million. Please call. And it's like, I get that twice a week. I get some cat from India telling me I won the lottery, and all I need to do is call and confirm my soch. And
I don't like your stereotype. You just did.
It's not a stereotype.
So
I'm just telling you like it is.
What Steve brought up a good point is like, yeah, call them back. But let me put this word of caution out, because we don't have phone books anymore. I mean, most people don't. Call from some printed documentation, call from the number on the back of the card, something legitimate, because what most people do is go right to Google. And I think I mentioned this last podcast is you need to make sure that the URL, the web address in the top bar of your browser actually says exactly what it's supposed to say.
Right. And it's a secured, which usually has a lock.
Yes.
Or it changes color. Like, you know when you're on a secured and unsecured website. Like when you're purchasing something online,
it has to say HTTPS.
Yeah, and you're putting your credit card information on a website. If it's not secured, then it is vulnerable.
Yeah.
Not to say somebody's going to take it from there, but
that means is that they could grab it in the middle. They can grab that traffic and see it as like clear text. Yeah, it might be a nasty string.
Yeah, it's not encrypted.
Yeah. But what I was getting at is if you just type into Google like Microsoft or Bank of America or like Yahoo password reset, if you type in like you forget your email password and you type in email password reset, there is a giant like list of 20 things before you ever get to the real thing.
Yeah.
And what they do is really smart. They make a URL, which is the web address, and it'll be, for example, www.yahoo.help.com. I can buy that web address. That's not Yahoo. Yeah. Yahoo doesn't own that.
Yeah.
Or google.help.com.
But it's help.com with a Yahoo
there
subdomain.
There can only be differing text after the .com. So if you look in your URL and it says google.something or yahoo.something, it needs to be yahoo.com / some stuff.
And guaranteed somebody owns google's.com.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so Google might have bought up everything around.
Yeah, they tried, but there's still some stuff out there, though. There's you know, Gaggle and stuff. You know, people, they have common mistyping errors is what they try and catch.
Right.
And then people will create an entire identical or similar website to the common mistype.
Yeah, you go to Google, I'm having trouble saying Google. Google with an extra O,
you know,
three O's instead of two.
Right.
And it takes you to a site that looks just like Google and it updates with it and everything. And they're probably, you know, getting your keystrokes.
Yeah, you just have to really pay attention to what you're doing. It's like driving. That's our common analogy at the shop is like you have a seatbelt, you have airbags. You can't just drive over the sidewalk. Like you still have to pay attention to traffic.
Another thing you can do is keep your account numbers and the phone numbers to those accounts handy in a place like where you keep your social security card or something. That way if something goes down, you have quick access to all that information. You can make the phone calls you need.
I hide them all over my house. They look like grocery lists.
Yeah, I like to like put one digit on this corner and code it.
There's a map. Yeah,
and the wife repaints.
If you read my clock, it tells you all my information.
Yeah,
it says how tall my kids are in the hallway where I mark it with pencil.
Whenever credit card fraud happens at Brent's house, he has to shave his children's head because that's where he's tattooed all the information.
There's barcodes.
That's crazy. It looks like Einstein's chalkboard on the back of their head.
But I know. I always see in the news, and like I said, it's happened to me. I get more phishing on my phone than I do on via email. But it also depends on the account. My work account at the college, they have really good security filters on there, but several times a week, and like you said, it's not just some stranger. It'll just be a name I vaguely remember because it was probably a student of mine 6 years ago, but somehow it seems like it's coming from their account, and it'll just be this really vague message that says, "Hey, what's up? How's it been?" And I know this, if it was actually an email from an old student, it would usually say something a little bit more than that.
I hope you remember me.
And I get them. I get them all the time. And
it's all books and stuff.
I know, you know, and everyone I know that I work with, we get these just ghost emails from old student accounts, and they're just trying to get us to correspond. Yeah. And then they've got us hooked. And
well, some of the best servers in the world get hacked.
Right.
You know, I mean, the most secure places in the world get hacked.
Mm-hmm.
The Pentagon. You know, I mean, so
yeah, so I mean, sometimes the larger you are and the more protection you have, it creates a more likely, it's like the bully at school, like
bigger target.
Yeah, it's a bigger target for some reason. Yeah. And plus, there's a bigger payoff if you can get through it.
Yeah. And that was the big misconception with Mac computers, is that they don't get viruses. The truth is they do get viruses. They're just a smaller target as opposed to Windows.
It wasn't worth the effort. Yeah.
Now, and I actually had a Trojan. I mean, we discussed this before. I actually had a Trojan on my Mac. So they're there.
It was gross. It was slippery.
Yeah.
You had to throw it away.
It was still moist.
Yeah. I gave him a paper towel.
Is this radio approval, Dave? Gary,
I'm home.
No, but that is, I hear regularly from people that are willing to shell out an extra $500 to buy a Mac that one of the reasons they're doing it is because they never get viruses.
And that's not true anymore.
Yeah. I mean, there are reasons.
Viruses,
yeah.
Look him up on YouTube, Sid Melvin.
Yeah. Ironclad to the death. There's nothing wrong with the Mac. come in like
put on blast
on
right
fire
now.
Which is like, this is a virus, you are infected. And he's like, it's not a virus.
It's not a virus.
It's just malware.
He's like, so we're putting him on blast.
Well, because I mean, the fact of the matter is there's no such thing as a secure operating system, and the only reason people hadn't been hacking Macs for years is it wasn't worth it.
Because
it's not that they're hacking it, it's that you're installing something on there.
Right.
You know what I mean? They've sent you something, I'm going to install this program, or you went and downloaded, you know, a torrent or music. That's where people get
and in
stuff.
Spite of people's
it's,
paranoia,
it's not Mac, you know,
odds are someone, and we mentioned this briefly last week, odds are no hacker out there, unless you like ran over their dog or something, no hacker is like
in your computer
coming to get you. Like that hacker wants to get me. Like no, hackers are spreading, they're carpet bombers. They're spreading the widest net they can, and whatever happens to get caught is what they exploit. And for the longest time, there wasn't a big enough share of the market to Apple's for hackers to bother writing code. Everyone had a PC. But now there are so many Apples out there, it's worth it for hackers to crack into them and to do stuff because it's a bigger system now.
Yep.
And I have to say, I have a MacBook. I have an iMac, but I also have a Toshiba and I also have a PC. Like, I love and hate Mac. I like the way that MacBook feels. It looks cool in Starbucks to all those people that want to sit there with a glowing white apple and fit in with a crew.
Right.
It is made out of a solid milled piece of aluminum. It is a Mercedes. They don't make a low-end Mac. If you buy a Mac, it's going to be good. There is no – the bottom of the barrel Mac is the best of the PC. That's the truth. But not getting virus is not one of the buying points anymore.
So, so if you're out there, you know, trying to keep your computer safe – That's not the reason to go out and buy a Mac. If you're familiar with Windows, you probably stay with Windows. If you're doing music production, video, audio, you use a Mac, you know.
Right.
So those and most people know that, you know, but
and you're grown up. If you want to buy a Mac, you can buy a Mac. Yeah. But you could probably buy
You do what I tell you to do.
Okay? You could buy two Lenovos or two Toshibas, and if one broke, you could just grab the other one. Honestly.
One.
Like you could buy a 1995 Toyota Camry and drive yourself to work and back for
That's
6 years.
Color. If you want to look like Brent.
Yes.
And grow a beard. So we covered medical identity theft, and if that happens to you, you're screwed.
Apparently.
No, I don't know. I think there's like, wouldn't they keep camera? I guess if it's a year off, though.
Once again, you'd have to get
a
legal system involved. And what's the process of that? Yeah. Like, who do you show that camera footage to?
Well, if it happened in your town, it would be a different story. Because I promise you, if it happened in my town and I got this bill, I'd be down at that hospital talking to whoever the freaking board of directors is with all kinds of proof and getting them to change their minds. But if it happened in London, or if it happened in New York City, or if it happened in some completely different place, like, I'm not...
Where it's going to happen.
Right, it's not going to happen in your town. It's probably going to happen somewhere else.
The problem with that is, though, is like it's when you find out that it happened, six months have passed, and it's at collections. Yeah. So you're talking to... I'm not going to say names, but there's some, they always have a crazy name when they call from collections, but they call and say that it's out of the hospital's hands. They're not dealing with it more. So you're going to have to call them.
Ramjeet Najir?
Or others. It could be Aquanetta. It could be anything. but that's who calls me.
God, so Lloyd. Racist.
Yeah.
Lloyd.
This is Lloyd.
Yeah. This is Lloyd.
Yeah. So my name is Ben.
I have a few, and we covered some of these, but it's a few things, tips, basically, you know, for identity theft to kind of keep yourself.
We're going to call this segment
straight. Yeah.
Just the tips.
Just the tips with insert. Should I do it in Tyrone? Just the tips with Tyrone. No, okay. I need to get another voice. And we covered some of these, but pretty much only carry essential documents with you. Don't carry your Social Security card. Obviously, but some people do. Some people have their Social Security card.
Yeah, they keep it with them. And for that matter, and I don't know if this is further, I don't want to steal your thunder if this is further down the list, only carry essential documentation and only carry credit cards you're going to use. Most people have 5 or 6 credit cards.
They keep them all in the
wallet. And they keep all of them in the wallet. Like, keep 2 in your wallet and then keep the rest of them locked up at home. So if your wallet does get stolen, all of your stuff isn't compromised and you've still got credit cards that are viable.
Yeah. Mine are in house plants, miscellaneously arranged on the patio. Okay.
And that's what this says. Not carrying extra credit cards, Social Security card, birth certificate, passport. So, you know, those are key things that will get you destroyed.
I have a blood sample that's in my pocket right now.
Use a check card.
What's that?
The Visa check cards. I mean, they're so convenient. But if you've ever had your bank account hacked, never getting that money for 7 days and now you're not eating.
Yeah, no, that's the worst.
The next thing is don't order new checks online and get them sent to your house. Just
don't order checks. It's over. Quit writing promises to people you're going to pay them in 2 weeks.
And actually,
that's the weirdest thing. Yeah. Checks are so archaic.
Well, that's if you don't have the money, but what if you have a gardener and you have to mail him money?
He needs to step up.
You kind of got to sell him you got to either do a cashier's check or a check or something.
Make him a website. And get free gardening forever, and then he can accept auto payment.
And also, oddly enough, like a lot of doctors that I go to, like I always have to pay a copay for my insurance, and like none of them take credit cards. They want cash or checks.
Yep.
That's some tax evasion.
So it's like I never have cash. So it's always like, okay,
it's a weird thing with people of that are above a certain age that own businesses. I'm not going to name names, but I know some people, they refuse to take credit cards because of like the 2.5%.
Yeah.
The convenience clearly outweighs that 2.5%.
You have no idea how much happier your patients are going to be. Like every time I go to the doctor, I'm like, oh, damn, I got to get a check or I got to stop at the ATM. Like if I could just roll in and swipe my card, doc, I'd be a lot happier.
This is the fun fact about AMPM. They only take debit card and they charge you 50 cents.
Right.
So all that 10 cents a gallon you just saved on gas.
Yeah.
You just gave paid it back to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you went in and bought a soda.
As long as you only got 5 gallons.
Yeah. You just gave him an extra dollar. Well, you know what I'm saying, though.
No, like, totally. I've been to a place where I needed to buy. We went to Candarian's one time to buy electronic parts. I needed these little momentary surface mount switches. And he wouldn't let me pay with credit card because he had like a $10 minimum. And these switches were cheap. I was like, that's fine. You have them. Charge me $10. Oh, I can't do that. I couldn't buy the parts with my credit card. I said, I will give you $10 for these switches if you let me walk out with them. I need these switches. I don't want to scour the internet.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
At the same time, KFC, I hate KFC. I'll never go there again. But back in the day, during the weird gray area transition, they wouldn't take credit card. They implemented a weird ATM inside the thing that you'd have to request $20.
Oh, I remember
it would
that.
Print out a receipt.
I remember
you would
that.
Walk up to the counter with a receipt and they would give you change on $20. You had to guesstimate how much
that?
You were going to spend. So if you spent $21.43, you'd have to
go back to
the weird ATM thing.
Yep.
That's a huge company.
Yeah, it was ATM receipt.
That is weird.
So let me finish Brad's tips.
I know.
Let me finish Brad's tips before we go into a break. Oh, mother Go.
Son of a good guy.
Son of a...
Don't put your social security number on the check. Fill it out with as little information as you can.
Oh, people do handwrite that stuff.
Yeah, they do.
Automatically. Put your first initial and your last name, and don't put anything else unless you absolutely have to.
Brad's staring at a commercial timer. Go.
It's time for the commercial, so we'll do. We'll finish up Brad's tips when we come back after a word from Savage Radio sponsors on KSVG, Savage Radio, 89.7 FM, www.com. This is the Sofa King podcast, /
stuff.
Things. We'll be back.
Pyrenees Cafe, Basque Restaurant, 601 Sumner Street, open daily 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., 323-0053.
Norris Barbershop, Oildale's full-service barbershop, family-oriented, specializing in men and boys haircuts. Hours are Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Located at 316 Norris Road, 393-5601.
Brian Smog and Automotive, old-style automotive repair shop specializing in smog check and repair. Brian Smog and Automotive offers general automotive repair, timing belt replacements, general maintenance and service, as well as electrical diagnostic and related repairs, to give customers peace of mind to drive in a fast-paced world. They are located at 615 East 21st Street. The number is 321-0505.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
Welcome back to the Sofa King podcast here on Savage Radio, KSVG, 89.7 FM, Bakersfield. We're going to continue with Brad's tips. Brad's tips. And that's my. So we talked about only carrying essential documents with you, keeping checks out of the mail, moving on because they just keep stopping me. Don't give out personal information over the telephone. So, Dave, you covered that.
Right.
Talking about, you know, the credit card company called you. You went back and called them back.
Yeah. So, don't, like, if someone else initiated the phone call, don't tell them anything.
And don't hit redial. Yep. Don't dial the number they
told you. Don't dial the number they told you. Like Brent said, look at the back of your credit card. Look at a statement in your filing cabinet. Find the legitimate phone number. And call, and don't even just Google it because you might be getting pushed into a false phone number by Google.
Yeah.
So find documentation you have in your house.
Nowadays, you might have an app also.
I think is really interesting about that is in those other countries, like India specifically, like they're known for telemarketing. That's part of their industry. That's a huge part of their job force. Yeah. I really feel like because of like the opportunity that they have in life, you know, their opportunities are different. So when they clock out, it's very likely, it's not even very likely, it is probably decidedly so that a lot of those guys clock out from Microsoft support, antivirus support, the bank support. The same guys that are doing that, they know the talk, they know the script, they just did it for 8 hours. Yeah, they walk over three buildings over to the secret place with no sign on it, and they sit down and they make that same phone call that they just made. They know every step of the process because they're probably the same guy that actually would have called you a second ago. Which makes it scary is if he's deceitful in such a way that he would do that and clock out and clock in, as he's doing his normal job at the bank, he could just be collecting that information in some fashion and walking over to the other place and finishing the job.
Right.
So there's nothing you can do about that.
Let me ask a question real quick. You had mentioned apps. As a possible solution, and it's something I honestly don't know too much about this aspect. How secure is it if I'm not on Wi-Fi and I'm just on my phone using 4G directly with my company and I'm doing banking?
Well, those we talked about the dudes with the backpack routers. Mm-hmm. Like that's where
not on Wi-Fi though.
No, if I'm not on 4G. Like, if I'm not on 4G, Wi-Fi,
I think
I mean, is that fairly secure?
I think you're probably pretty secure
as far as someone picking up my signal. Yeah.
There's probably a hacker laughing maniacally from a rooftop with a backpack antenna right now.
Yeah.
Like,
well, no, it is entirely it's entirely possible that you're still getting they're still getting your information.
It probably greatly decreases the risk factor.
It cuts it in half, I would say.
It probably wouldn't be worth it. Yeah. There's enough people that step on their own tongue, you know.
Because that's kind of because if I'm ever like at a coffee shop and I suddenly need to check a banking account or whatever, I turn off my Wi-Fi, I make sure I'm just on the 4G, and then I'll log into my bank account. And I'm always curious, is this still fairly secure, or should I not even be doing this?
I use a carrier pigeon and I follow him on a bicycle.
That's a good idea.
I keep him, with binoculars. I keep him in the line of sight. There's never a broken chain of.
That's the way to do it. He is the white Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
The next thing we're going to go into is. Is your trash is their treasure, is what this says. So throwing away credit card statements, throwing away anything important, anything with information on it. Obviously, there are people who dig through trash that don't necessarily want your identity. They want your cans and bottles. But that same information, which we talked about this on the last show on identity theft, is the guy went and what he bought the trash.
Yeah.
He bought the shred.
Even the shred. So even when you think you're doing it right, you might want to just shred that stuff at home. And it doesn't matter. All that junk mail you get, you have to shred that. It's a pain in your butt.
Yep.
It sucks that it shows up, but you need to shred it because someone can just steal that. Most people are like junk mail, Albertson's ad, credit card option, and they throw it away. Yep. And then that person fills the app out and does a change of address on the application. The credit card shows up with them. Then they create a fake ID so they can just show it at Walmart, buy a bunch of stuff, sell it, whatever they're going to do.
And we're really good. I mean, I shred all that stuff. I mean, sometimes it makes me have a foot high stack of junk mail sitting in my kitchen because I don't have the patience to shred it all. But then eventually I'll shred it all, but I'll never throw it away. But my wife, probably a year ago, just all of a sudden got which I don't understand how any of this works. She got a late notice for a credit card bill, even though we had never gotten any credit card bills or anything. We just got like this letter that said, you're 90 days past due on this credit card. And we were like, it was like a PacSun credit card. And then a couple of days later, and the thing is, though, the funny thing, and this is actually a really funny thing, it's not even her real last name. It says Erica Kuzer.
What's a Kuzer?
Because, and the thing is, years ago, my friend to
that's like
thank,
a drunk cougar. I
no,
think.
A friend of mine to thank my wife for helping him on a project got her a subscription to like a handyman magazine full of like tips on how to do like woodworking and stuff.
Right.
Except he got it to our house, but sent it to Erica Kuzer just as some weird joke name. So that's how that name somehow initiated in the universe.
Weird.
Just a subscription to a magazine that we didn't even pay for. And somehow she got a credit card slip from PacSun. She got one from Myers, which is a huge chain store on the East Coast. She got one for another thing. But all of a sudden we just started getting like out of nowhere. And it's like, we shred our stuff. We do all of it.
Well, what's cool is you probably can't be held liable for that one.
No, they're saying, but she had to fight it. It hurt her credit. They were like, no, this is you. And she's like, that's not even my name.
Well, think how bad that is. So we were trying to say, well, I'll just lift my shirt and show them I don't have an appendix scar. I still got my left leg. That one's not even you and you're having trouble fighting it. How bad is it to fight when it was you, your name, your social?
I mean, really all it took was one letter and it said, that's not even my name. This isn't me. I didn't apply for these cards. And they said, okay, that's cool. And they wrote letters to fix the credit. I mean, it was a really simple fix, but it was just weird. And there were multiples in a row. But I mean, so even though we're paranoid and shred stuff, it's like that.
I don't even shred it. I boil it. I make a mash.
I just burn it. I use it to cook hamburgers.
This next one makes you look like a paranoid person, and you might get fired or they might think you're crazy. But it says make sure others are keeping you safe. So that means like going to your employer and your landlord, anyone else who keeps your personal data, and question them on how they're keeping your stuff safe. You know, so that one, I don't know. I don't know how many people do or will do. But because I think you give your information to certain people thinking that
it's safe.
Yeah, that it's safe, you know.
I like at the bank, when you go to the bank, there's little trash cans like for your gum wrapper or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it just says, this is not a secure waste bin. Like, what is anyone throwing away in the bank that they don't care about?
ATM statements or
ATM
statements.
Stubs.
No, exactly. Please have a secure waste bin, Bank of America. You have billions of dollars. Can you shred our stuff? Like,
yeah,
that is a that's
yeah.
A
not
good,
have a paper
point. Very fair point
on touché, our Canon
touché,
printer, like
touché.
On a Word doc with Georgia font in blue. They just like print out.
But I think that's a good. I mean, understanding how other people who you give your data to, I think, is really important. I mean, I work for a mid-sized college, and I promise you, it would be really easy to hack that place. Right. Like if you're a competent hacker, I mean, if you can hack freaking Bank of America, you can hack my college, and it's like all my stuff is there.
Tell us more.
They hacked my insurance company not that long ago, and like millions of people's medical.
It was big and tall insurance
and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, certain criteria for that insurance.
But I mean, it's like if I was applying for an apartment and it's just some dude owns this building and he wants my soch, I'd kind of be like.
What's up, Jack Black?
Hey man,
you need my soch?
Sorry, I've worked in colleges too long. We just call it Dave Black's brother.
That's leftover from Dreads. When you had Dreads, you said soch.
Soch. I always say soch. But no, I think that's a good point. Like, I think it's really important to do that. But I think it's going to make you like look like a paranoid weirdo jerk.
Yeah,
it's like you're going to walk up to your boss and be like, "Yo, what's up with my information? Like, yo, how's my data?"
Yeah, you're kind of.
I mean,
you know what's really frustrating? Dave, is you can put all the chaff out there in the world and some huckster still might get your soch.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can shred it and there's somebody out there.
And then they take your soch.
Back together.
They'll take your soch and then they monetize it.
Oh, man.
That happens.
If this is your first podcast you're hearing, you wouldn't get that. But
yeah, that's good. Acting like a bunch of Bilderbergers
and
out there.
Our guest didn't get it because he don't listen to our podcast. So.
No, he don't.
He don't listen.
I was waiting for more Brad tips.
Okay, I got more tips for you.
All right, sir.
All right, the next two are obvious. Stay on top of your credit and protect your Social Security numbers. So those are obvious things. You know, don't give your Social Security out to your gardener, random people who don't need your Social Security number.
When my dad passed away and he had boxes and from like the 1970s, he had
boxes,
checks and pay stubs and everything you can imagine. And he wrote his Social Security number on everything. It would just be like, oh, look, a pay stub.
That makes sense.
He wrote his Social Security. Like, why did you write? Like, no, he wrote his Social Security number on everything. I have no idea why. We had to shred so much trash because all of it, everything. Oh, a letter from his mother. I should put my Soch on this.
My Soch.
We have time before break.
We got about 10 minutes.
I was going to say, speaking of writing your social and everything, there is a company. So all these tips that Brad's giving, there's a company that will do it for you. There are several companies, but the big one is called LifeLock. And the CEO of LifeLock used to drive a diesel.
Dang.
Man, I made fun of Dave's He's words European, and then spit one out myself.
Under the bonnet, it's a diesel.
Well, and I think monetize is really how you say that word.
Maybe. It's how Dave says it. Tomato.
I heard it on TV after he said it.
On
I
was TV, like, it must be correct.
Man, a British guy said it. It's like, I'm going to monetize that.
That throws it out the window for sure. They say vitamins.
Vitamins?
And aluminium.
Vitamins are good. That's a good word.
Vitamins and aluminium. Anyways, LifeLock, this guy would drive around in a giant truck with a trailer that had his soch on the side of it and drive it through town because he was so confident with his company LifeLock. He no longer does that. I think he got hacked. The game changed.
Yeah.
You can't be that confident. Yeah. So I wanted to.
He wasn't following Brad's tips.
You're just. No, yeah. He didn't get Brad's tips. You're just.
Asking for it.
Yeah. I mean,
it was a good marketing idea.
Even if people were like, oh, there's no real way for someone to get your Social Security number, it's like, okay, jerk.
Like, his identity was worth the money he made.
Yeah. I just want to show this stat, though, because I couldn't believe like how much stuff has changed. So there was a report done by Microsoft, the first one, it was in between 2004 and 2005, 1.2 million users were affected by phishing scams, totaling in $929 million.
Uh-huh.
By 2014, that number was more like $5 billion.
Ooh, yeah.
Man. Yeah.
That's how serious it
That's
is.
That's insane yeah. crazy.
Wow.
So
don't buy Microsoft.
LifeLock quit bragging and started doing stuff apparently though, but they do have some kind of like $1 million guarantee. Like they have like insurance policies on your identity. And basically they will monitor the world. Like they check to make sure that your credit cards, your social stuff that they have on file doesn't match up with, black market websites that are selling that type of stuff. If they monitor your bank activity, your credit reports, if you lose your wallet, like they have people that will go in and take over. And if something does happen, a breach occurs, they will assign someone to you and then they'll take care of it for you.
I have to say that I think that everyone's information is out there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe that. Like, nobody, even if you are doing everything you can to keep yourself secure, your information's out there.
Well, that being said, I would have to think like anonymous and like crazy places, and yeah, they're all over trying to get LifeLock, probably, yeah, right? Because that would be the ultimate goal. That's the
whole thing. And the other thing is, though, is if the Indian guy can go to work and work for Microsoft, and then go and get people's information and use it somewhere else, or do the phishing scam, it's the same thing. Like, they probably have some sort of hiring process where they get these people and they've done background checks on them. Most criminals don't have, you know, these types of criminals don't have backgrounds. They don't have,
or they know how to not have a background.
Or they're hiring somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are professionals, and if you're a good professional, you don't get caught. You know,
but even so, I mean, even with the fact that people are going to want to hack LifeLock and places like that, I would still argue that it's probably a good idea to have a service like that. Well, I mean, they're going to be monitoring common scams and problems that you're never going to monitor.
If you steal my identity, that's a mistake. You know what I mean? I think you would want to pick somebody who has a decent amount of money where you can actually use it.
You still have to be vigilant on the front end. A lot of the companies that give you the insurance services, they help you pick up the pieces after the fact.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if your car gets
stolen, that's true.
The insurance company helps you get a new car, but they don't address the problem of why it got stolen.
Yeah, I have LifeLock, so I just throw my mail away now. I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Right.
You know, like that's the mistake people make. You know,
well, the pricing on LifeLock, I mean, I don't know, you'd have to weigh it out. It's $9.99 for the most basic thing. It's $20 for the middle one, per month.
Yeah.
And then $29 for the super duper crazy one. And the sad thing is,
good money maker.
They even have something called like Child Lock or something. So like, that's the problem. It's not just $29. You need it for your wife. You need it for your kids.
Well, and we talked about that, though, that foster kids are the ones who get their identity stolen the most.
Right.
And it's most of the time by people you know.
Right.
My sisters were getting credit card offers in the mail when they were in their young teens.
I remember you saying that. Yeah.
My parents were out there getting phones in their name, you know, and doing stuff like that. So a lot of time it's somebody you know. So just like child molestation, not to bring everything down.
So then
that's like a quick turn.
The next tip is trust no one.
Yeah.
Be paranoid.
Even loved ones.
If you poke everybody's eyeballs out, you'll be good.
Nice.
No one can see your social.
So the next couple of things I got before we go into the next break, I kind of took over this segment. Sorry, guys. Follow your credit card billing cycle closely. Which, I mean, that's obvious. If you have a credit card, you know, don't just throw everything in the drawer. Check your statements.
And again, apps.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them you can, or email alerts. Like, you'll get an email that just says, oh, this is due on this credit card right now. And then you know what's coming.
Yeah. And the next thing, I think maybe some people might have a hard time with this because they think they've done this right, or maybe they do have it, but it's not in the right place. So I want to see what you guys think is keep a list of account numbers, expiration dates, telephone numbers, everything like that, you know, important stuff filed away. Now,
I think that might be a mistake.
Filed away. Well, I don't know. Like, that's why I bring it up. Like,
if I get a hold of that.
What about if I have it in my safe or in a you know,
your safe, because they can't carry it away. But the average safe is like a Walmart $20 safe that's a suitcase and screams, "Take me away!" When you get broken into. I disagree.
If people want my safe, they're gonna get my safe. You know what I mean?
Not on you. No, I've seen that thing.
No. It's not that big. Like, I mean, there's,
you guys heard it here. Gotcha.
Yeah. So,
well, I don't know. You can do, even if they have that information, and my company makes you do it, when you call in for healthcare or whatever, you have to set up a personal PIN. And that's something that's not your account number, not your birth date, not your mother's maiden name. It's something that you make up, you know, and it might be the address of the house you lived at when you were 4 years old and the one you're at now. I don't know, whatever it is. And if you can set that up with credit card companies and your bank, and they can't change address or any information without that PIN code. And that kind of stops them dead in their tracks, so
Steve,
and it's free.
Yeah, Steve just took over Brad's tips. This is now Steve tips. The next one was creating a password or PIN number.
I just wanted to say that one.
But I think, but again, the downside is, and this, I'm guilty of this. It's like, you know, everyone I read who's an expert on like tracking your security and so forth says you need to have multiple PINs. You need to have different passwords for every account that you use, because if someone can get into one password and you have the same username and password for everything, it's like, oh, I know that that's your email username and password. Let me just see if that lines up with a Bank of America account. Let me see if that lines up with a Toyota account. Yeah.
Right now, like without exposing anything, I have to help clients retrieve passwords. I told you guys that last week that like I have the ability to like pull stored web browser passwords, and it is horrible. Like, and doing this research research, I've learned so many new things that are like extra scary. Like if something requests you to make an 8-digit alphanumeric password,
yeah,
you should make it 9. Like make it 10. Yeah. Because the programs that they use to crack those codes are crazy easy. Like they set parameters. It's like 8 characters. That's the base. They set it. And containing digits A through Z and 0 through 9. And then it'll sit there and try the combinations. It might take 3 weeks, 4 months. They but if you have a password that's 1111 or something, or your password is cookies and they figured it out, Dave's right. It's from experience. If their password's cookies, it's cookies and some numbers on everything else.
Yeah.
So if they enter that into that crack, they just type cookies, use these letters and numbers 0 through 9, they'll get your password.
Yeah. That, and that's one of the big things is, people always put, I just bought a laptop off Craigslist. The password was
careful. Like,
it was password.
Okay.
And then like a couple other things. Like it was like the simplest thing. Like I'm like, what's the password? Password?
That's
like,
I see that all the time. Yeah. I have to type in everyone's password. Passwords are silly.
And I was at work and I needed to get on the computer, and this is just one, they have one machine that does the billing and stuff, but I needed to get on the internet. It was password locked. I don't know the password. So I get on it, start it up, and it asks for the password. So I go, give me the hint. You know, on Windows, give me the hint. First 6 numbers. And I go, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Boom, done.
In. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, like things like that, like just because your password's easy so you can remember it, it's not good.
You need to do alphanumeric, contain capitals, special characters, and generally more than 8 digits.
Yep. And that's the thing. I mean, and the other thing to keep in mind with the digits is if you have 8 digits, you've got, I mean, even if it was just numbers, you've got 10 million combinations that the computer is trying to crack.
Yep.
You add 1 digit, you now have 100 million.
It's insanely more difficult.
You add 2 digits, you've got 1 billion. I mean, just adding those extra couple of digits, 2, 3 digits, and you've gone from 10 million to 10 billion.
And adding a special character like at instead tilde, of A or something.
Tilde, exclamation point.
You want to make it that they're walking down the street, like for an analogy, and like, oh, there's a house. Oh, it has a giant pit bull in the front yard. I'll break into the next house.
Right.
Yeah. Like literally, they might try you and be like, dang, this thing's been going for like 4 days. Like, forget it. Move to the next. Yep. Yeah. Make a move on.
All right. Speaking of break-ins, we got to break into a commercial break. You're listening to the Sofa King podcast on Savage Radio, 89.7 FM. KSVG. Did I mention that? No, I didn't. Here's some sponsors. after you just heard my tips, we'll come back.
Sandrini's Italian and Basque Restaurant, located at 1918 I Street, offers a diverse selection of Italian and Basque delicacies, beer and whiskeys from around the world, and live music every weekend. For more information about concerts and events, you can follow Sandrini's at facebook.com/Sandrini's Bar or call them at 661-322-8900.
Bonnie's Best Cafe. Freshly made sandwiches, salads, soups, and desserts featuring homestyle casserole dinners to go. Bonnie's Best Cafe has 2 locations to serve you. 1900 21st Street, open Monday through Friday 9 to 5 for sandwiches and until 6 p.m. for casseroles. 1002 19th Street is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Phone number is 661-323-7224. And the website is bonniesbestcafe.com for their current menus.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
We're back. Thanks for listening to Savage Radio, KSVG, 89.7. Hope you're having a good drive home. Today we're talking about identity theft and
On the Sofa King podcast.
On the Sofa King podcast. Sorry. I forget that people may not know. I thought everybody was a fan.
Everybody is.
So we're talking about identity theft. And one of the final things I wanted to say, we're specifically talking about prevention of identity theft. If someone approaches you, if you get the phone call, if you get the email, if something's coming to you, it's probably suspect. I always relate it to like the vacuum salesman at the door. They're there because they want something. Most of the time, they're not going to approach you. No one's going to ask you for your credentials. No one is going to ask you your security question. If you contact them to try to make a change, they will request that security question. But if someone is contacting you, be wary. Like Dave said, find the right phone number on some actual hard copy of something that you own and contact them in reverse. Make sure you're going to the source. If you're on the internet, don't type B of A into Google. Type B of A into the address bar and make sure that between www and .com is only the word that you wanted. eBay, CNN, Google, Yahoo, whatever it may be. If there's anything else between the www and .com, it's probably suspect. So be wary of that.
Yeah.
And Dave wants to tell us a cool story. We don't know what it is though.
I do. I'm assuming that everyone in this room followed the Democratic GOP, sorry, the Republican GOP debate last week as closely as I did.
Specifically Donald Trump.
Specifically, you didn't watch it at all.
I didn't watch it, but I read up on it.
Okay, so I didn't watch it at all, and I had no desire to, but then the next day...
That's because you're a Democrat.
I just get... No, it's because I wouldn't have listened to either side.
Oh, okay.
At all, because that's ridiculous. Because
you're vegan.
Because we're going, a freaking anyway. Year and a half away from an election, and why do I want to listen to these people talk and say nothing to each other for an hour?
It's as entertaining as a reality show, right, though. It is.
But Ice-T did a live tweet session while watching it. And I think his tweets told me everything I need to know about the debate, so I wanted to read his tweets. For those of you who didn't take time to listen to last week's debate, I think Ice-T sums it up perfectly.
You got four minutes.
That's plenty. So the first tweet is, the black dude said the Mexicans can stay if they do the work no one wants to do, WTF. And he followed it up with, the doctor just lost me with that Mexican slavery idea. So we're off to a good start. He then says...
And he's speaking of Ben Carson.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then he says, they all need nameplates. Then he said, I've only heard the word education once from anybody. Then he said, they should ask a gay question and watch these MFs implode, which I thought was really funny. He then said, why don't they talk about the drug companies hustling the medical industry? Couple more. And which apparently they must have started talking about, because then he said, this should be good. And then in all caps, he said, weed, which of course he did. Yeah. Then the next one is, oh, blank, Bush gets high. I don't know. He must have said
something about that.
Which is fantastic.
He just smoked one time.
This is all I need to know. Like, Ice-T has completely given me all I need to know so far. Then he said, Trump should just admit to crack cocaine right now. This is his chance. Then he said, how about giving women equal wages? F a picture. I don't know what the picture part refers to. Then he said, and this is what I agree with the most, I could be playing my video game. I can't take much more of this. He said, hey, I hope I helped you enjoy the debate. Wow, USA, we're in trouble. And then his final one is, I'm voting for D's nuts.
Yeah, we've been in trouble.
I like to think he was holding an AK when he did that.
So that was his summary. That was all I know of the debate, and I think it was probably accurate.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's probably about right. I listened to a thing, and it was all of Trump's insults, and it was pretty good. Like, just your faces and...
Right.
You know, because I want to, and your mom, you know.
And if you haven't seen it, you owe yourself the 3-minute pleasure of watching the Donald Trump says China video.
Oh, wow.
Because it's one of the funniest things
I haven't
things
seen
I've
that.
Seen.
I'm going to have to do that.
Also, Trump in the Mirror by Jimmy Fallon is a really good video as well. I saw a cool Trump thing about Rage Against the Machine. In the year 2000, they had a song, Sleep in the Fire. Is that what it's called? Yeah. They had a video, and in the background, it's Trump for president all over the wall and people holding picket signs. But the person said, to be fair, they're not like psychic or anything. He had dabbled in publicly saying he might dip his toes in the race as early as the 80s. Yeah.
Right.
But it's kind of cool. Like, that in 2000, you know, 15, 16 years ago, that was when Rage Against the Machine stood on the steps of the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah.
And they played Sleep in the Fire and like closed the stock exchange down for half a day while filming that video.
Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So that's the show ender. We'd like to thank Savage Radio, KSPG 89.7 FM, for having the Sofa King podcast on. And until next week, we will be here recording shows. That's all we do.
That's it. 24/7.
Don't be a retard.